I'd like to begin this evening by reading a passage of Scripture that doesn't actually pertain to the crucifixion directly. I'll be reading from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. And honestly, when Pastor Ron gave us the order of worship for this past Sunday, I was a little nervous because he had these same verses in there. But I think that's just the Holy Spirit working, and so we're gonna do both. So, hear the word of God. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the cross, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of God for the people of God. So as I mentioned, I'd like to take a few minutes today, and even though it's Good Friday, I want to go back in time a few days before Jesus was condemned and crucified. I don't know what day of the week it actually was that week, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but it doesn't really matter. Sometime between Jesus' entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the Last Supper on Thursday, some Greeks, Gentiles who had come to Jerusalem to worship, they came wanting to see Jesus. All throughout the Gospel of John to this point, Jesus had said that his time had not yet come. But now Jesus tells them the time has come for him to be glorified. I imagine that in light of his entry into Jerusalem on what we know as Palm Sunday, with the crowd shouting and waving palm branches, laying down their cloaks to prepare a way for Jesus, the disciples might have started to get a little excited. They must have been thinking that the big moment was finally upon them. But then Jesus throws them a curveball and begins talking about wheat. He says in verse 24, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Now, the disciples weren't much better than Ryan Howard when it comes to hitting a curveball. I can't imagine how confused they must have been when, practically in the same breath, Jesus goes from talking about his glorification to talking about death, from victory to seeming defeat. But in linking these two ideas together, glory and death, Jesus was giving the disciples a kingdom principle that flies in the face of worldly wisdom. Glory, victory, life comes through death, through sacrifice, through surrender. He was telling his followers that his highest moment was coming, and it would come through his dying. It was through his death that life would come. Now, there are three ideas in this picture of the kernel of wheat that Jesus told us about that I want us to look at. The first one is the seed has to die. In order for the seed to give way to new life, it first has to be cut off from its source of life. The kernel of wheat that remains on the stalk doesn't produce life. It has to leave the comfortable and familiar and die. In a similar way, Jesus began that process, as the Apostle Paul tells us, by making himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus took on our human flesh because he knew it was the only way for humanity to be reconciled to God. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. As Charles Wesley put it in one of my favorite hymns, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. But that seed, when it dies, can't just die anywhere. Have you ever seen a plant grow from a seed laying on a neat, clean countertop? Or when it's still in that little paper package that you buy seeds in these days? No. The seed has to get down into the dirty, messy soil where it can put down roots and establish itself. Jesus not only left the Father's throne, but he became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. He got down in the middle of messy, broken human life and put down roots. He surrounded himself with friends who would abandon him, deny him, and betray him, even just a few days after he said these things. He entered into not only the high points of human life, but into the lowest, darkest experiences of humanity, so that he could redeem them all. Jesus wasn't afraid to enter into life and risk getting a little dirty. Jesus also understood the principle that one seed doesn't just reproduce itself. Now, I'm not a farmer. Some of you know my grandfather was a farmer, but a farmer I'm not. However, while we were in Uganda serving there, I got to work with a program that trained people in sustainable farming practices. It was called Farming God's Way, and we saw that when people practice it over several years, they'd see their harvest increase 10, 20, even 30 times what they were getting with their traditional farming methods. Now, in Uganda, they don't eat a lot of wheat, but they do eat a lot of corn. They dry it and mill it into a flour. And I remember talking to them about saving a portion of their corn harvest for the next season so they could plant it for the next year. And you could always see the struggle on their faces as they wrestled with this idea of saving the seed rather than eating it. At some point, though, the light bulb would click on in their mind as they realized that this one kernel of corn that they were holding in their hands, if they saved it and planted it next year, that dry, dead seed, and planted it in the soil, it would become hundreds of kernels the next year. Jesus understood that his one death, like a kernel of wheat planted in the ground, would bring life to many. Jesus knew his death was coming and that through it, he would be glorified and bring that new life to so many. That's what we celebrate today on Good Friday. What Jesus accomplished on the cross was a once and for all atoning, reconciling sacrifice. But Jesus wasn't just talking about himself in this passage. Jesus was giving his followers a model, inviting them to follow him in it. Now, what Jesus accomplished in his death on the cross is never going to be accomplished by another human death. But it doesn't need to be. Jesus' death was sufficient to make a way for us back to God. But he still calls those who would follow him to die, to lose their life, to give their life away, to pick up their cross. It's this same call that comes to us today. If we're going to serve Jesus, he says, we must follow him. We must understand this kingdom principle that death produces new life. Most of us will never be called to give our lives physically as Jesus did, as others around the world have had to for their faith. But ours is a call to die to the world and to self. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me." And Paul told the Galatians that through the cross of Jesus Christ, the world is crucified to us and we to the world. If we are to serve Jesus, if we're to follow him, there's a death that needs to take place in our lives. Sometimes that death is going to mean that we get down into the dirty, mucky, messy parts of life. It's not easy. But when we die to ourselves, when we stop trying to preserve our lives, when we give up our desire to stay in the clean and the comfortable, when we follow the same path that Jesus had to walk, God can put us in the dirt of life and bring new life out of it. Like a seed that's taken out of its little paper package, God produces fruit from our lives when we die to ourselves and allow ourselves to get planted down in the dirt. And it is God who produces the fruit. On our own, no matter what we do, we cannot produce fruit. We have to die to ourselves so that we can be made alive to God. As Paul said again in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." God can only produce fruit in and through our lives as we remain in Christ and allow his life to become our life. As Jesus told the disciples a bit later in John, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." We don't produce fruit, but the life of Christ lived in us does. Now again, Jesus' death on the cross on that first Good Friday accomplished for us and for the world what we could never have accomplished ourselves. His blood was shed for our sin. His death reconciled us to God. But Jesus wasn't talking about his death only. He was giving us an example to follow, a principle of how the kingdom of God works. New life comes through death. What might it mean for us to die today so that the life of Christ can be lived in us? Is there something in the world that I need to die to? Is there something in me that needs to die? Are we willing to let God sow us like seed into the dirty, messy places so that he can bring new life and produce much fruit for the sake of his kingdom? No matter where you find yourself in your journey of faith tonight, brand new, walking with God for years, how's God calling to you to die tonight? As one commentator said, "There can be no glory without suffering, no fruitful life without death, no victory without surrender." Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful tonight for your sacrifice on the cross, for your willingness to come and surrender yourself, that you would come, you would humble yourself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. God, we pray that tonight as we reflect upon the sacrifice you made, as we hear your voice calling to us, If you serve me, you must follow me. So God, how are you asking us tonight to follow? What are you asking us to die to? What in us needs to die so that your life can be lived in us? So that we can remain connected to you and you can produce fruit in the messy, dark places in the world around us. God, we want to follow and we want to be surrendered. Would you show us tonight how you're calling us to follow and what it means for us to follow you in your death? We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.